God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. Shine the light of your love on the scripture, and may we be willing to open our minds, our hearts, and our souls to hear what you would have us to hear. O Lord, anoint me to say what you would have me to say. And if I don't, may no one remember what I've said. We ask this prayer in your Son's holy name. Amen. Our scripture this morning is found in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, the 10th through the 18th verses. Hear now the word of God. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. So no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. When you call, O God, we will listen. As you teach,
we will focus.
Where you lead,
we will follow.
Guide us in your path.
And lead us into your light.
Last service, I prayed similar prayer, and I lost my voice. So I was trying to figure out, was I saying something I wasn't supposed to say? But I got my voice back, so I'm thinking that it was okay. This scripture this morning, it comes from the lectionary. For those of you who are not familiar with the lectionary is a tool that pastors use. We Methodists, the Episcopal Church, the Catholic Church, I think the Lutherans, and maybe even sometimes Presbyterians, not so much. Baptist sometimes. But it's a wonderful tool that is arranged around the Christian calendar. The Christian calendar begins in Advent, where we talk about the coming of the Messiah, the Christ. We like to celebrate it thinking of the birth of Christ. But if you look at most of the scriptures dealing with Advent, it's really about the second coming of Christ. We then have Christmastide, where the message and deal with the birth of Christ and it through the 12 days of Christmas. And then there's Epiphany, and we're in the season of Epiphany now, and it will run until Ash Wednesday, and then we will start Lent, the Lenten season. And those scriptures will be moving through the life of Christ and those 40 days in the desert, and as he prepares for Holy Week. We have Palm Sunday, we have Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Easter. And then we have the 50 days of Easter. And then we have Pentecost, when we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. And the scriptures deal with those seasons. And it go all the way to Christ the King Sunday, which is the last Sunday of the Christian calendar. And then we start back over with Advent. The lectionary has 3 years. It's an A year, a B year, and a C year. And there are a gospel lesson, an epistle lesson, a psalm, and an Old Testament lesson for each Sunday, really for each day. Some people say it's worthless. It's a worthless tool. It's just something that God can't use. But if you use it every Sunday for 12 years, and you preach a different scripture each week, you will preach more of the breadth and depth of the Bible than you would if you preached sermon series every week. Because it forces you to preach things you normally wouldn't preach, places you wouldn't go. I decided to preach this passage of Scripture a long time ago because it was the lectionary text. And really, for the last several weeks, it has haunted me. It's really haunted me. Because my heart has been heavy over all the things that are going on, not only in this country, in our world, but in the church. I think back 2 or 3 years ago when in the Methodist church we began, laity and clergy began to start jockeying for positions. Clergy who wanted to be elected general conference delegates began getting a part of their little political groupies and getting together and making sure they had support from people who thought like them. Laity did the same thing. They got in their little groups. Everybody was off. It's amazing what happens when you go to annual conference when you're led by spiritual leaders, clergy and laity alike, who are normally normal, decent human beings. They act like they're in Washington, D.C., while they're in Athens trying to elect delegates. Except for Gary. But people who preach the good news of Jesus Christ demonize the people who are not like them. So we elected delegates, and they went to General Conference last May, and the issue of human sexuality became the linchpin, the thing that was, it was it. And the delegates voted to start a commission, a bishop's commission on how to move forward. That's what they chose. And by February or March of 2019, they will make a decision. They will make a recommendation to a calls conference, general conference. That is one of those things where we have divided our church. Our church is divided. And if you associate with somebody on one side, you're deemed the Antichrist by the other. And if you're dead talking to the other group will call you the Antichrist. It's amazing how divided we are. And so when I read in our scripture this morning about Paul, who is in Ephesus, being told by Chloe's family, you won't believe about the church you started over there in Corinth. There's a group of people who say they follow you. There's people who say they follow Apollos. Some say they follow Peter. And then others say they follow Jesus. There's division over there. What's interesting to me is when all of a sudden you have a light in the darkness and all of a sudden there's division, the light keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and then to the world, it disappears. It happens in churches. Some of us believe that humanity has progressed over time. We have made tremendous strides in medicine and science and technology and all those things, but when you get down to it, when it comes to human beings acting like saints or sinners, we have the exact same problems as the people in Corinth. We have not gotten any better. See, the people who said they were for Paul, see, Paul had started that church. We need to do what Paul started. We were most successful when we did what Paul told us to do, and he was here. And that's what we need to do. Paul was a little more lenient toward Gentile Christians. Well, all of a sudden they had a revival or something, and Apollos showed up. And some people said, no, we need to quit doing it like Paul and do it like Apollos. He was charismatic. He did it a little bit different. God is doing blessing through Apollos, and that's what we need to do. And then there were those who said, no, we need to do like Peter. You know, let's go back to that early days of Christianity when we were mainly Jewish people, Jewish Christians. That's what we need to be. We need to celebrate those Jewish holidays and the Christian holidays. Let's do it like Peter did. And then there was a group that said, no, need to follow, like Christ. Theologians, scholars have wondered, what in the world, who were these people who said they were followers of Christ? This is who they were. They were the ones who waited around till everybody chose a camp, and they wanted to prove they were holier than anybody else. And so we chose, I'm going to be a follower of Christ, because that's who we follow. I don't know who they were. But Paul makes it very clear that we need to be together. We need to be unified. We need to remember why we are here, so that then we can stop divisions. We can be the church. We can be the church. Church that Christ has called us to be. Alan asked me, I think Tuesday, how you coming on your sermon?
Not too good.
He asked me Wednesday, how you coming on your sermon? Hadn't started. How you coming on your sermon? He started on your sermon. That's what he asked me Friday. I said, hadn't started. I'm waiting for the inauguration to be open. That's what I was doing. I was trying to figure out if we were going to have a country after the inauguration. You see, that breaks my heart too. We live in a country that is divided. And in the midst of all of this, we are so divided. There are Christians on both sides of any issue. And the Christians on one side can't believe that you would be a Christian if you're on the other side. And if you're on the other side, you can't believe there could be a Christian on the other side. And we demonize everybody. We paint with the widest brush that there can be found, miles wide. And if you give a hint that you might be leaning one way, they will paint you into that corner. Amen? And if you're on the other side, you can be painted into the other corner. I started looking at on my own Facebook page with the people who have shared things and posted things. And if somebody looks at my page, nobody will like me. Because I have people who are liberal and I have people who are conservative. I got people who hate Donald Trump and I have people who hate anybody who doesn't like Donald Trump. There are people who, just because something is posted on their website, they will accept it as the truth and authoritative and share it with everybody. And let me tell you, as soon as you do that, somebody is mad with you. You might think that everybody on your Facebook page and your friends think exactly like you, but they don't. There's not an equal. I'm not going to do this because I don't want to fight. But if you think everybody in here thinks exactly like you on every issue politically today, you're wrong. We are a divided congregation. We are divided, just as divided as the church in Corinth. And when we act divided and we say things and do things on social media, we offend somebody in this congregation. I don't know why in the world anybody thinks anybody wants to know what I think about politics. I don't know if anybody really cares, and I don't want anybody to know what I think about politics. Because in the course of me responding about politics, I am going to offend somebody and drive a wedge farther and farther between us. You cannot solve the problems of this country with a tweet of 140 characters. You can't solve the problems of this country with a Snapchat with 80 characters and or a text at 160. The problems that we have in this country is they demand that we be willing to sit down and talk with each other. Most of us, many of us, some of you, we listen long enough to respond, defend, or to accost. We never sit down to listen, to learn. We don't have time. We have our authorities. And God forbid if we read something that was from the other side. That's who you are. That's who we become. I'm a fan of the TV show West Wing. I know it's been off the air for 7 or 8 years. I don't know. It's the weirdest thing. There's a Democratic House, West Wing. We had a Democratic president in the show, and I liked him. I liked the writing. But there was an episode one time when President Bartlet was running for his second term. He was running against Governor Ritchie, who was from Florida. Governor Ritchie was just a good old boy, you know. Every answer, every problem in the world could be answered with a bumper sticker. President Bartlet was Harvard trained, educated, Ivy League, PhD in economics. And they asked him a question, Governor Ritchie. In these economic times, do you think it's really a good idea to cut taxes? And his answer was, I believe the American people know what to do with their money better than the government. Now, that's easy to say, but he just proposed all these spending things. And Bartlett's response was this, that's the 10-word answer. But what are the next 10 words? Because our problems are deeper than a bumper sticker. You see, we have to be able and willing to sit down with people we do not agree with to try to understand why they believe the way they do. John Wesley has his sermon about the Catholic spirit. And, all right, does everybody in here want to be right? Does anybody here want to be wrong? Anybody want to be on the wrong side of a decision? We all want to be right, correct? All right, everybody in here who's never made a mistake, raise your hand. Who's ever had the wrong first impression? So if you agree that you've made a mistake in your life, is there ever a chance you might make another one? Isn't there a chance you could be wrong? Well, what is worse than espousing something that's incorrect would be your unwillingness to sit down and talk to somebody. You see, that's where we have come as a church. We would rather post something. We would rather share something. We would rather throw a dagger as we're passing by than sit down and get to know somebody. Jesus said, you will know that you're my disciples by the way you love one another. And by the way that we do that today in social media, you don't love one another. And the world knows it. We don't. And the church will never make a difference in this world until we learn how to love each other and love the world. I will draw all men near, women, children, when I am lifted up. The question becomes, as a church, who are we lifting up? Several weeks ago, I had the pleasure of being with Bishop Sue Harper Johnson. Is that right? Yeah. Bishop Sue. She was talking about, they had a question about sexuality, and it really talked about, it was bigger than that. It was about division. And she shared with us about a week or two before, she had gone to South Carolina and to Southern Georgia, where the United Methodist Committee on Relief were doing disaster relief for the people in the hurricane. We had a hurricane. It went through, remember? And she said, made this statement. She said, you know, of those people who were there doing disaster relief, I never heard any one of them ask somebody else, what is your sexual preference? Are you a Democrat or a Republican? Who did you vote for? You just didn't help. You did what was necessary. They did what was necessary to bring aid to a dying world. And she said, really, you know, that's what the church needs to start doing. In 1961, President Kennedy met and spoke before the Canadian Parliament. And he said these words, geography has made us neighbors. History has made us friends. Economics has made us partners. And necessity has made us allies. Those whom nature hath joined together, let no man put asunder. For what unites us is far greater than what divides us. The question for us today, are the things that unite us, Jesus Christ, is that greater than what divides us? See, if we don't get united, people, if we don't start being the church, it's not going to matter. God is calling us to love one another, to look beyond our differences and be willing to sit at the table and talk and discuss, no matter how long it takes to do it. The gospel is still the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. The question for us is, are we going to do it? It's my prayer that you will join with me in praying for unity within the church, that truly we will begin to love one another, and may the thing that unites us be greater than the things that divide us. Amen.